Believe in God, the Father Almighty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our catechism this morning comes from the catechism of Pope St. Pius X, who wrote, "Why do we call God the Father? Because by nature he is the Father of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, that is to say, of the Son begotten of him, because God is the Father of all men, whom he has created, and whom he preserves and governs. Finally, because by grace he is the Father of all good Christians, who are hence called the adopted sons of God. Why is the Father the first person of the Blessed Trinity? Because he does not proceed from any other person, but is the principle of the other two persons, of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Why is creation especially attributed to God the Father? Because creation is a work of divine omnipotence, which is especially attributed to the Father, just as wisdom is to the Son and goodness to the Holy Ghost. Does God take any interest in the world and in the things created by him? Yes, God takes an interest in the world and in the things created by him. He preserves them and governs them by his infinite goodness and wisdom. And nothing happens here below that he does not either will or permit. Why do you say that nothing happens here below that he does not either will or permit? Because there are some things which God wills and commands, while there are others which he simply does not prevent, such as sin. Finally, why doesn't God prevent sin? Because even from the very abuse man makes of the liberty with which he is endowed, God knows how to bring forth good and to make his mercy or his justice become more and more resplendent. God, our Father, in whom we profess our belief every time we pray the creed, what does that mean? It means for us in a large measure what the word Father itself means in our mind or our experience. And that is a term susceptible of different ideas over the ages. For example, there was the ancient Roman concept of pater familiae, the father of the family, and also the patria potestas, the father's power. Under certain circumstances, an ancient Roman father had the right to kill his own children and to answer to no man about it. Then there is the old Christian or Western idea of the Father, with which some of you, not all, but some of you may have grown up. That is to say, your father as a somewhat stern and distant man, but a good man, a man who provided for you, a man who was to be obeyed, and to whom you did not dare speak disrespectfully. Then there is the modern concept of the father today. I see some good in it. That is to say, fathers who are very close to their children and affectionate with them, which is surely a great blessing. But then on the other hand, there are some fathers who are pathetically anxious to be more friend than father to their offspring, and they're all the time worrying about what kind of ratings they're going to be getting. They may lose their temper and threaten from time to time, but they never carry out their blusters because they've been trained by their children. Where does God come into your picture of the Father? All religions look upon God as Father. Even the pagans, who didn't think much of their gods, referred to their chief god, Jupiter, as the Father in the sky. But it is our blessed Savior who all the time is speaking of our Father who is in heaven, a Father who sees in secret, a Father who is interested in every detail of our life, a Father who loves us so much that he only acts in our good interest, but we must often take that on trust. the whole of our trust in our Father is built upon this truth. God always acts for the good of his children. What kind of a father is God? Well, again, the concept of earthly fathers. I mean, think of fathers who have a hard time saying no to their children, and thus they grow up spoiled. A father who never takes time to train his children, and thus their nature is never formed in the proper way, because it is the job of parents to correct the fallen nature of their offspring. Almighty God is all the time doing that with us. Think of it. If he gave us everything we asked for right away, we would be spoiled too, wouldn't we? We'd be selfish and lazy and probably conceited. Almighty God is all the time working on our nature, which is hurt, remember, through original sin, in order to turn us into the kinds of Christians he wants us to be. He wouldn't be a true father unless he did that. I think it is interesting that when we speak of fathers, the focus is often on behavior and on judging. Fathers, today would be a good day to examine your own behavior, not only before the eyes of the eternal Father who sees all and judges all, but also before the eyes of your children, because children see everything and remember it. By exception, I want to read to you a poem today, which is in the Sunday Bulletin, which I dedicate to our fathers. It's by the beloved American poet Edgar Guest. It's just called Fatherhood. Before you came, my little lad, I used to think that I was good. Some vicious habits, too, I had, but wouldn't change them if I could. I held my head up high and said, I'm all that I have need to be. It matters not what path I trod, but that was ere you came to me. I treated lightly sacred things and went my way in search of fun. Upon myself I kept no strings and gave no heed to folly done. I gave myself up to the fight for worldly wealth and earthly fame and sought advantage, wrong or right. But that was long before you came. But now you sit across from me. Your big brown eyes are opened wide, and every deed I do you see. Oh, I dare not step aside. I've shaken loose from habits bad, and what is wrong I've come to dread, because I know, my little lad, that you will follow where I tread. I want those eyes to glow with pride in me. I want those eyes to see the while we wander side by side the sort of man I'd have you be. And so I'm striving to be good with all my might, that you may know when this great world is understood what pleasures are worthwhile below. I see life in a different light, and from what I did before you came, then anything that pleased seemed right. But you are here to bear my name, and you are looking up to me with those big eyes from day to day, and I'm determined not to be the means of leading you astray. When it comes to God the Father, I think the focus is on behavior and judgment too, but how odd. We creatures presume to treat our Heavenly Father the way we do sometimes our earthly one, that is to say, to presume to second guess and to judge and even to criticize this Father's behavior. The problem? I think it is this essentially. Not only that God is a Father who disciplines us, but what we call the problem of evil, why God permits suffering. He does, of course, and he's always getting into trouble because he doesn't seem to stop it for us. Remember the three great truths we know about suffering, that St. Paul writes in Romans 8, that the world travaileth until now, that because of original sin, our world does not work as well as it should. There are tornadoes and tsunamis and the rest of it. And there is also disease and also death. That's punishment for original sin, too. But finally, the great truth of our free will. Original sin does not take that away, nor does God. What does that mean? In practical terms, it means that we can and do interfere with the happiness of others here below. So put that all together, natural disasters and sickness and bad people and well-meaning people and we ourselves, our good Father uses all of these things to toughen us, to discipline us the while, by exposing us to that which is difficult as well as that which is sweet and pleasant here below. Now, we pray every day to be delivered from all of these kinds of evils. But our prayers don't always seem to be heard, do they? And thus we grow impatient. But if God delivered us from every natural evil or evil from another human being, just think of it. The reality that this is a fallen world under original sin, that would be forgotten. And what happens to people's free will? God would make a joke of that. But Almighty God respects our free will. But if you're suffering today, if you're feeling some awful pain, that may not be a satisfactory explanation for you. And I understand that this Father's Day, the Eternal Father is probably in the docket for many people as they judge him. What more can I say except to say it again, that suffering can be good for us, to make us the grown-ups God wants us to become, detached. It's difficult to be detached if you're always getting your own way. Patient. How can you be patient unless you have to endure something at times? And especially to trust God, but our Lord wants a blind trust. Sometimes you have to not know the reason why he treats you as he does. And finally, humble. How could you be humble if all of your plans went perfectly? But also, do you remember this truth? Temporal punishment due to sin? By suffering, we pay the debt which is due to sin. We tend to forget this, but God holds us. We see today we have choices, and that's true. We do. But God holds us responsible. He does not insult us by acting as though we were all babies that had no free will. No, no. And when we make our choice, he respects us as responsible agents, but he demands of us, too, accountability. If you play, you pay. Is that too crude a way, perhaps, to express this truth? But it explains the suffering in hell as well as in purgatory. Suffering in purgatory or here below on earth, remember, is just a way of bridging the gap between God's will, which is perfect, and our will, which is so imperfect. That is why that Father sent this Son of his for that cross to die for us. This probably is how the saints would explain suffering, and how that anyone who loves Jesus Christ has got to consider it an honor to be so closely conformed to him, St. Paul says, as to bear his cross, or even the wounds of his cross, as our Blessed Lady did and all of the saints. Why do good people suffer? Perhaps it is because they are good and to make them to be even better. Our only hope, probably, is that when our time comes, as it will, that we will be patient and that we will find peace. God is our Father. That is an act of faith that we make at the beginning of the Creed. But because we are fallen children, He disciplines us to prevent us from growing up into spoiled children. He punishes us to make us His children more than ever, all the while respecting in us, His children, our own free will. And if we will accept our punishment, we may associate ourselves with the great act of atonement which our blessed Lord makes for Himself on the cross and renews this morning on this altar. Fathers, and all of us, children of this good Father, judge yourself this Father's Day. You are sorely lacking, but He loves you, and His love will find a way. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.